Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaska Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're tackling, some subjects that you have been interested in. I know that because you've been engaging with us on several fronts. Let me just explain. A couple of weeks ago, so we're speaking March of 2024, we aired a program, an interview that I did with Dr. Greg Steinke. Dr. Steinke, if some of you are regular listeners, know is the director of the Life Med Clinic in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Dr. Steinke was talking about natural therapies and the impact that he's seeing in his practice, especially as it relates to autoimmune diseases. In our discussion, we ended up talking about the microbiome. This is a term that's used to refer especially to organisms living in our guts, bacteria, yeast, fungi, viruses, different organisms that live in our intestinal tract, and the impact they're having on our health. A number of you were very engaged with those topics. I know you were because we had a fair amount of interest in the radio show as well as some of the bonus video content that we released relating to Dr. Steinke's program. So in covering that material and then looking at some of the questions that are actually coming into us, I said, boy, we need to spend a little bit more time with this. So where we're headed in this show, we are going to be taking some of the questions that you've been sending to us. And if you're new to the show or if you're a regular listener and have not engaged with us online, the easiest way to do it is by communicating with us through our sister website, which is timelesshealinginsights.org. timelesshealinginsights.org. It is there that we have a number of automated online programs, free lifestyle programs. At least our flagship program is a free program, and the intention is it will always remain that way. We've piloted a few other programs that may change in their delivery as time goes on, but 30 Days to Natural Diabetes and High Blood Pressure Control is a free program. Tribes have engaged with it. I know I'm thinking of a specific tribal health leader that has been using that content in some of her educational efforts in a tribal health clinic. But the point is, wherever you're at, that's a free program, 30 Days to Better Health, or the longer title, 30 Days to Natural Diabetes and High Blood Pressure Control. It's there available at timelesshealinginsights.org. And the reason I mention that is because we've got a lot of folks, thousands of folks have gone through that online programming and engage with us online as a result of that programming. And we invite you to do that as well. So we're going to take some of your questions, but we want to dive into the microbiome today, talking more about that and just the exciting research that's coming out. Some of you are well aware of this, but I just want to help you see this amazing connection. And I do it with some interest. One of the PhD physiologists that had a profound effect on my life, I can remember years ago, there were people talking about regulating the colon health and doing those colonics and things focused on the bowels. And based on the literature 30 years ago, he didn't have much confidence in this. And I said to myself, wow, I would love this fellow were still alive today and get his take on just what's happened with our understanding of the microbiome. So let's step back a few steps and let's talk about why this is important, how it can make a difference for you as far as your whole person health. We're going to talk about what you can do. I know a lot of folks are talking about probiotics and taking supplementary bacteria in particular to try to help their health. There are some benefits from those things, but I'm going to promote a different approach, a less expensive and I think more intuitive approach to microbial health in the gut in today's program. So stay by with me, but let me give you a little bit of background first. So prior to this show, I said, hey, let me go to the medical research literature and look especially at recent studies that have come out in the last several years. And that's what I've been doing. And let me just run through some of the titles of studies or summaries of studies. We call them analyses or meta-analyses. It's amazing the reviews that are coming up. Let me just give you some examples. So this is a paper that came out in 2021. And the title of the paper was A Narrative Review of Relationship Between Gut Microbiota and Neuropsychiatric Disorders, Mechanisms and Clinical Application of Probiotics and Prebiotics. So we'll talk about the terms in a little bit of detail here. So probiotics, think of them simply as things that you ingest that help to promote a more healthy bacterial flora in your gut. These are typically organisms that have favorable effects that have been demonstrated in the research literature. Prebiotics are not actually ingesting the organisms, but they're ingesting raw materials, foodstuffs, if you will, supplements, if you will, foods, simply put, that actually can help influence the bacterial composition of the gut. So let's talk a little bit about what these researchers found. They looked at connections between the germs living in your gut and how they influence something that we used to just think of the gut-brain axis. And that means there's a communication, two-way communication between the gut and the brain. And we know there's nerves that go to the gut, and those nerves carry signals from the brain to the intestinal tract and vice versa. So, for example, if you're extremely stressed, it may affect your digestion or your stomach emptying. You say no surprise there. If you get really stressed, you've heard of people maybe vomiting in extreme stress. Some people may have colonic effects when they're extremely stressed. Maybe they get constipated, or maybe things go the other direction when they're under a lot of stress. So there's this connection between the brain and the gut, but it doesn't just go from brain, like stress, to gut, causing gut problems. It also goes from the gut to the brain. In other words, signals coming from the intestinal tract going to the brain. What's really interesting about the research is they're finding a lot of that signaling is mediated or involves this microbiota, the germs living in the gut. And so instead of just talking about a gut-brain axis, people are talking about the microbiota gut-brain axis. And so that these living organisms in your gut are making compounds. They're making things. And in this study and others, I can read you a list of some of them if you're a chemist. Short-chain fatty acids, lipopolysaccharides, different compounds that then actually have a role in, well, even making, even the production of neurotransmitters, brain signaling compounds in the gut. Let me just give you some examples in this particular paper. So they talked about a number of different connections. For example, Parkinson's disease. So many of you are well aware of this condition, extremely common in the grand scheme of things. I haven't looked at incidence or what we call prevalence data, like how many people in the U.S. have Parkinson's today. But the point is, it's not an uncommon disease. In fact, I was just in a social situation the other day, and afterward turned to my wife and I said, you know, it looks like that person has Parkinson's disease. And you say, well, what would tip you off? Well, one of the hallmarks of Parkinson's disease is a resting tremor. Now, if you're getting worried already about Parkinson's, because you say, I notice as I'm writing, my writing is not as good. It seems that I'm trembling. I'm shaking when I'm holding my cup to get a drink. Well, the tremor that gets worse with activity is usually not the Parkinsonian tremor. Usually a Parkinson's tremor is worse at rest, tends to go away with motion. There's another more common tremor, sometimes simply called benign essential tremor. And people that have this, if it's bad, they say, well, it's not benign. I'm knocking things over and having difficulty writing, things like that. But it's benign in the sense that it doesn't reflect some progressive neurological disorder. like Parkinson's. So Parkinson's, although it has a tremor, it's involved with dopamine signaling in the brain, and problems with that dopamine signaling, it causes not only tremor, but it causes problems with balance, problems with motion. Someone with Parkinson's may have a more expressionless face, and they can be prone to falls and other things. Over time, they can have difficulty speaking, and it's a progressive disorder. Now, here's why I'm mentioning it in the context of the microbiome, because one of the things that healthy bacteria make is they make something called butyric acid. And this butyric acid has anti-inflammatory effects. And in summarizing the data, they looked at individuals with Parkinson's disease, and it says it seems that in general, they have a bacterial flora, a composition in their gut that is not making as much of this good compound, this butyric acid, and this may be related to the Parkinson's disease. There's other research that they summarize dealing with things like depression and anxiety, looking at things like tryptophan. Tryptophan, you might realize, is the raw material. It's what we call amino acid. It's used to make serotonin, which is one of the mood-elevating neurotransmitters. Well, tryptophan production is tied to the health of the microbiome, these germs living in the gut. Let me just read something here. The potential of the gut microbiota as an antidepressant target is further enhanced because it can affect neurotransmitter pathways. And then it talks about how these intestinal bacteria can produce things not just like serotonin, but also GABA, norepinephrine, dopamine, acetylcholine. These are all different important neurotransmitters, brain transmitters, and they can actually be produced in your gut and in better amounts, presumably, if you have healthier microbial content of your intestines. We're going to be speaking as we go through this program about what you can do differently to make changes that can actually help your gut and can help with these various benefits. But let me just continue the dialogue, because there's papers out reviewing how this microbiome affects cardiovascular health. Blood pressure seems to have linkages in perhaps many cases with the microbiome, again relating to some of these different compounds being made by the gut bacteria, and whether they promote inflammation, whether those chemicals actually go into the bloodstream and have beneficial or harmful effects. It all hinges on what germs and in what relationships those germs are. All of us have a host of germs living in our gut. We're talking about millions upon millions of organisms, and these organisms have the potential to impact a host of processes. Let me move on to one that's been getting a lot of attention lately, and this is something that we often get questions about. It has to do with the whole issue about obesity. And I'm going to put this in a little bit different framework. It does not seem like a day passes. I'm probably exaggerating a bit, but where I don't see some other article in the lay press or in the medical journals speaking about agents that work on a system called GLP-1. And whether that system means anything or not to you, many people have heard of medications like Wegovy and Ozempic and semaglutide or semaglutide, depending on how you want to pronounce the generic name for that compound. And related compounds have been getting a lot of attention in the field of weight loss and diabetes management. So what we want to do is we want to talk about these specific compounds, the difference they can make potentially for you, how you can boost your levels of GLP-1 without taking a shot or an oral medication, and just some really exciting information, all linking back to the microbiome. I'm Dr. David DeRose. The show you're listening to is American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We've got some important messages coming up, but I'll be right back after that.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking about things that relate to your interests, your questions, things that are coming to us here at our offices in northern Indiana. That's where I'm currently based, even though we often find ourselves on the road throughout Indian country and beyond. We're talking about things that can make a difference as far as your overall health. And I want to tie this back in just briefly to indigenous communities. This is a Native-themed show. And of course, Native Americans historically were not giving themselves injections with pharmaceutical agents. And yet the historical records suggest that prior to European contact, they were extremely healthy. They were lean. They were fit. And I would suggest to you that what we're going to be speaking about as we continue throughout this show are going to be some simple strategies that can help improve your microbiome without costing you a lot of money. In fact, could even save you money. So where we stepped away in our dialogue, we're speaking about, if you're just joining us, the microbiome, especially the gut microbiome, these germs that live in harmony with us typically. And I say typically in harmony, I mean, if you rupture your bowel or something, these germs could cause life-threatening infections. But the point is we've got these bacteria, viruses, yeast, especially thinking of the bacteria that are living in our gut and are doing all kinds of things that can either help or harm our health, depending on what types of germs, what types of bacteria predominate in the gut. And we're transitioning to speak about weight. And we've known for years that the microbiome, what's living in our stool, can influence our weight. There's all kinds of research done in both animal models and in humans. It basically shows if you change the microbiome, you can change a person's tendency either to be lean or to be obese. And we're moving to talk about these compounds, these GLP-1 receptor agonists, as we were closing out the last segment. GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. And many of you have heard about these medications that are kind of taking the world, especially the Western world, by storm. These medications first were popularized for their ability to treat type 2 diabetes. They've become very popular for their ability to help people lose weight, whether they're obese or not. So they become popular, I'm told, in the entertainment industry and any place where people are concerned about trimming down, not just in medical settings. These GLP-1 agonists, that means they stimulate this GLP-1 receptor, they actually are involved with signaling the brain to be satisfied, slowing stomach emptying, triggering the pancreas to make more insulin and thus lower blood sugars. So there's a number of potential benefits that go along with these medications. Now, having said that, you may have heard reports that sometimes, as I'll say to a patient, if we're talking about these medications, I'll say, well, sometimes these medications can work too well. And they kind of look quizzically at me, especially if they're overweight and they're wanting to lose weight. You know, how can they work too well? And, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. Well, they can cause significant problems with digestive slowing. There's people that can get gastroparesis. That means their stomach is not emptying properly. And although those percentages are low, when you look at the research, I was just looking at some reviews on this, maybe as few as 1 in 100 people. If you're that 1 out of 100, then that's significant. But the experts are saying, well, hey, wait a minute. We're talking about, you know, a lot of people with serious weight problems. You know, don't discourage them from using these medications, because their likelihood of having complications from their profound overweight is much greater than, you know, a 1% risk of having problems with stomach emptying. Well, having said all this, where does this take us when we talk about the microbiome? The fascinating thing about the microbiome is the germs living in your gut can actually make compounds that stimulate GLP-1. And this is really interesting. So in other words, instead of taking a shot, if you could change your microbiome, this could actually help with weight loss without taking a shot, without having to purchase an expensive medication if you don't have insurance, for example, or a tribal health program that's covering some of these agents in your case. So you say, what do I do? Now, a lot of what's being popularized, and I referenced an earlier show where I featured Dr. Greg Steinke. Dr. Steinke was talking about a probiotic that's gained a lot of popularity. You can look it up online. He mentioned it, Akkermansia, Akkermansia. So Akkermansia, full name Akkermansia mucinophilia, this bacteria actually has the capacity to stimulate GLP-1 levels, raise GLP-1 levels, and promote weight loss and improve blood sugar control. It's actually been clinically studied. So you say, okay, well, that settles it. I'm turning off the radio show and I'm going and, you know, buying a Akkermansia supplement. And you can do that. But here's the catch. And I was listening to one of the researchers who was involved with actually developing a way to culture the Akkermansia. It's what we call an anaerobic bacteria. That means it grows in conditions where there's no oxygen. So it's not an easy thing to just grow in a lab. And anyway, I was listening to this researcher and they were sharing what they found when they give this probiotic to patients. The majority of them never get this Akkermansia to really take hold and predominate in ways sufficient to have clinical impacts. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's not like your garden. You say, boy, all I need to do is broadcast some dandelion seeds. I wouldn't do it, but the wind, just throw those dandelion seeds into my garden, and they're just going to take hold there unless I uproot them all. Well, it's not that simple with probiotics. Just because you seed your bowel with probiotics or you take them for a month or 2 months or several months doesn't mean that particular strain of bacteria is going to thrive there. And it seems to have a lot to do with our lifestyle, with dietary choices. This is where we're headed in this program, things that you can do beside taking probiotics. So I'm not saying you can't take a probiotic. I'm not saying that they couldn't have value for you. I'm not saying that you can't use medications to treat mental health disorders or high blood pressure or weight issues. But what we're saying is there's ability that we have to affect changes, to help our gut flora change in ways that can then help us reap some of these benefits. So before we get into that, let me just expand the dialogue just a little bit more. You might say, well, listen, you've talked about cardiovascular disease, mental health diseases, but none of these things really are of concern to me. I'm more concerned about my irritable bowel syndrome or celiac disease. Let me just tell you something really interesting. This was a review article, and they looked at the number of papers that had been published. This paper was a particular review was published just a couple of years ago. And so they looked at all the research published through December of 2021, and they just found thousands of studies. For example, inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, nearly 3,000 papers looking at these diseases and the microbiome, and over 30 clinical trials, actual studies where they are working to impact the microbiome and try to treat these very serious inflammatory bowel diseases. You'd expect this, too, with celiac disease. Now, celiac disease, we'll talk some more about it. This is the disease that is actually due to gluten exposure, and we're going to try to put this in perspective. Some people, I've had many people, they see these labels like gluten-free this, gluten-free that, and they wonder, well, is gluten bad? Well, gluten can be very harmful if you have celiac disease, but we're going to talk about gluten-containing grains and why they can be very beneficial as far as the gut microbiome as we continue in this show. But some 500 papers looking at the microbiome and celiac disease. If you have irritable bowel syndrome, and I've seen figures anywhere from 20% of the population to 30% of the population, or maybe even more, have tendencies to irritable bowel. So these are individuals, and I alluded to this earlier, irritable bowel syndrome can be especially problematic in the setting of stress. These are individuals who may have diarrhea, constipation, they may go back and forth, abdominal cramping, bloating. So extremely common. A lot of people just seem to be wired to have gastrointestinal problems. By the same token, some people seem to be wired to have headaches, or other people seem to be wired to have other things. All of us have some weak links in the chain, if you want to say, of our human health. And irritable bowel syndrome is one of them. There's, here in this research, over 1,500 studies that have looked at how the microbiome can impact irritable bowel syndrome. What do you think about colorectal carcinoma, cancer of the colon and the rectum? Again, over 1,500 studies looking at that. Liver disease, approaching 5,000 studies. Type 2 diabetes, over 2,000 studies. Various forms of liver disease, in the range of 5,000 papers looking at how the microbiome can impact these things. So my point is, in this first half of the show, we're talking about something that is relevant to you, okay? Whether it's your metabolism, your blood pressure, your diabetes, even if you don't have those things, your gut health, we're going in some important directions. When we come back, I'm going to talk with you about things you can do to improve your microbiome, looking at the research, trying to pull some things together, practical insights for you. You're listening to Dr. David DeRose, the show, American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We'll be back with more right after this.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're back in our second half of today's show, and I promised you that we'll move into talking about things you can do to improve your microbiome, to help your gut bacteria be healthier and reap benefits as far as potential mental health benefits, potential metabolism benefits. If you're just joining us and you're wondering why we're tackling this particular subject, it's because you've been telling us that you're interested in these topics. Dr. Greg Steinke, a recent guest on the program, he's the medical director of the LifeMed Clinic in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I know generated a lot of interest. We've had a number of you engaging with things that we've put out online that relate to Dr. Steinke's show. Some of you have been reaching out to us asking questions, and we're going to take some of those questions that relate to things that, well, directly relate to the microbiome. If you're just joining us and you say, well, how do I get a question in? Yes, you've heard phone numbers. You are listening very likely on one of the networks that carry our show. We've got a number of great networks that do a wonderful job communicating with us. If you reach out, for example, to Native Voice One, the Native American network, the 24/7 network that carries our show on a number of stations, they are very good with communicating with me. If you reach out to Life Talk Radio, another large network across the U.S. and into Alaska and Canada, if you want to reach out to them, they're very good with getting back with us. Family First Radio or Strong Tower Radio, a lot of great networks carry the show as well as independent stations. But to save all those extra steps, the easiest place to go, place that we have a team monitoring regularly, is the timelesshealinginsights.org website. So this is one of our sister websites. It is the place where we're putting up a lot of educational content, including our free 30-day program called 30 Days to Better Health, also known as 30 Days to Natural Diabetes and High Blood Pressure Control. So that's a free program at timelesshealinginsights.org. If you just go there, whether you want to go through the program or not, you simply go to contact us there and send a message through to me. We're going to be taking some questions that have come through that very portal as we go through our discussion right now. But let me tell you what I've done. I'm really an advocate of not selling a bunch of stuff to people. So I've, throughout my history, given a lot more out free, a lot of free resources, things like that. I do not sell supplements on my website. I know many people have told me I should. They say, well, you sometimes recommend supplements. Why don't you carry the brands that you like? I've just not gone that route. And if you see that change one day, it might even surprise me. Anyway, that has not been my emphasis. So instead of telling you, get this supplement, get this probiotic, what I want to do is I've summarized 8 keys to preserving and enhancing your microbiome. Okay? So let's start with 1. And this is kind of an obvious one. I think most people are aware of it, but many aren't. And my 1 recommendation, I'm giving you 8. 1 is watch out for antibiotics. Now, there's 2 ways to look at this. First of all, let me say I've dealt with patients who, you know, I'm convinced they would have died without antibiotics. So I'm not saying that there's never a place for antibiotics, but here's my plea. Don't beg for antibiotics. Antibiotics, depending on how strong the antibiotic is, has the potential to really upset the microbiome. And think about it. What do antibiotics do? They kill germs. Well, the stronger, quote, stronger the antibiotic, we speak of a broader spectrum. In other words, an antibiotic that kills lots of germs, well, it's going to kill lots of germs in your gut. And that can really set you back for a loop. I was listening to an interview with a gastroenterologist just recently, and the fellow that he was having a conversation with had been put on a very strong antibiotic for what sounded like, to both me and the gastroenterologist, a fairly mild situation. And the gastroenterologist is saying, I don't know why they put you on this strong an antibiotic, because that's like asking for problems with your microbiome. The point is simply this. We're not asking you to second guess your doctors if they're prescribing, because you can always guess. I'm not saying it's wrong to second guess, but I'm saying if you're placed on an antibiotic, definitely have dialogue. If you think, hey, could I hold off on this for a few days, try some natural things? If the doctor says, hey, no way. There's red streaks going up your arms. You've got a fever. We just did a blood culture and germs are growing in your blood. I'm afraid you're going to die. You're, you know, on the verge of, you know, profound sepsis. I'm thinking of admitting you to the hospital. Maybe I painted that a little too bleakly and they wouldn't have sent you home anyway. But my point is, yes, it's always appropriate to dialogue with your physician or other prescribing health professional, but don't go in and start begging for antibiotics. You know, I've had this sore throat for a week. Can't you give me an antibiotic? Well, if the doctor looks and evaluates you and says, you know, I think it's viral. I know it's lasting a while. And I know the temptation is to say, well, but if that antibiotic would help me kick it. And you say, but every time this happens after a week, I get the antibiotic and I'm feeling better. Well, it's possible that you would have been feeling better without the antibiotic after a week of that virus. So anyway, just realize antibiotics can really mess up the microbiome. So watch out for them. Second thing I want to encourage you to watch out for is classes of prescription drugs that can mess with the microbiome. But one of the interesting ones that I'll mention to you are these acid blocking medications. So a lot of people are on drugs for acid reflux, gastritis, maybe they've had an ulcer. Again, I'm not telling you to stop using those medications. I'm not telling you to throw them away. But I am suggesting this, to be aware that these medications upset the natural physiology of your gut. And among other things that happens is when you decrease acid production, you end up losing a barrier against introducing some serious dysfunctional microbes that could potentially get you sick or cause other problems. So what we do know is, for example, food poisoning, things like that, are higher in individuals taking these acid-blocking drugs, because that acid in the gut has a beneficial effect in destroying microbes that you may not want there. Now, you might be scratching your head. Well, you say, but I want microbes, but why would I want to destroy them if I'm trying to eat them? Well, actually, what's really interesting is what we're finding, at least from my vantage point, is perhaps the most powerful strategy is to work on the prebiotics, the good things that you can eat that feed the good bacteria, to try to strengthen the populations of the things we want to have more of and weaken the hold that the bad bacteria have on you. So let's move into this with our third point. These are eight keys. So watch out for the antibiotics, watch out for those acid-blocking drugs. But now here's something that you should do, and that is to eat more whole plant foods. And making my notes about this, I put fiber, fiber, fiber. This is one of the keys. Some of the most powerful foods are beans and greens. And I mention that because I've referenced our program, 30 Days to Better Health. If you've gone through that program, you'll notice the very first week, we're encouraging people to eat beans on a daily basis. And you say, well, what is it about beans that are so beneficial if we're speaking about gut health? It's an interesting question because, you know, some people have gotten worried about beans, but there's a group of compounds called galacto-oligosaccharides. Sometimes they're just abbreviated GOS. These are actually prebiotics, and these prebiotics are food for the good bacteria in your intestines. These are especially powerful compounds, and so beans and root vegetables, especially good sources of these prebiotics that have these beneficial effects. Now, in addition to these galacto-oligosaccharides, there's something called fructo-oligosaccharides. And where do you think you'd find them? Here's a list of good sources of these fructo-oligosaccharides. And by the way, they too basically feed these healthy bacteria. So when you think of fibers and things like that, you know, people say, well, I thought those were not digestible. Well, they're not digestible to our human cells, probably the best way to describe it, but the bacteria that reside in our guts can digest these things and can make health-giving properties, can induce a healthier population. So these fructo-oligosaccharides are found in plants like what? Like onion, garlic, asparagus, bananas, artichoke, many others as well. So the point is, eating these whole plant foods, especially fiber-rich plant foods, are one of the most powerful things you can do to give yourself the fertilizers, the nutrients, the environment that good bacteria can thrive in, and the food for these good bacteria to make these healthy compounds that can help you, help your brain health, help your metabolic health. So these are some of the things that we really want to emphasize. Let me move on to my fourth point, and that is to beware of refined sugars. I guess I could mention my book, The Methuselah Factor, but I won't. That's a book that goes through some of the same ground that we're talking about here. Let's focus on the free 30-day program that we have at timelesshealinginsights.org. That 30 Days to Better Health program, if you're going through it, we're going to say, decrease your simple sugars. We're not going to say throw them all away, although that wouldn't be all bad for some of you. And just as an aside, I had to do that as a young adult when I just was consuming way too much sugar. I said I just have to make a clean break with anything that had sugar on the ingredient list. But we're not that strict with you. What we tell you to do is to look at the label. Look at the label, the nutrition facts label. Look at the total carbohydrates and look at the sugars. Divide the total carbohydrates by the sugars. So if there's 40 grams of total carbohydrate per serving and 20 grams of sugar per serving, you do the math. 40 divided by 20 is 2. That ratio of 2 to 1 is bad. Okay? We want a ratio of at least 5 to 1. So we want a lot more total carbohydrate than simple sugar. So at least a 5 to 1 ratio if you're going to include it in our 30-day program. So that's what we're asking people to do, to decrease those simple sugars. Those simple sugars seem to disrupt the microbiome. Let me share with you another thing that can disrupt your microbiome. And this is an interesting thing that's emerging. It's these artificial sweeteners. So you say, well, hey, I'm going to listen to Dr. DeRose. We'll have stuff with all these low ratios of carbohydrates to sugar. It's just got a lot of artificial sweetener. No, these artificial sweeteners, there's evidence that they can disrupt the microbiome. So you really want to, what I tell people is educate your tastes to like things that are not as sweet. And what would those things be? Instead of having the dessert, have the apple. Have the banana. Have the fruit smoothie instead of the ice cream. Are you following along? And by the way, you can freeze the bananas and use them to make the fruit smoothie instead of using the ice cream or the sherbet. So my point is simply this, talking about practical things that can help your microbiome. I've got some more items coming up. My final three we'll be sharing with you in the final segment, as well as some of your questions. Don't go away. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaskan Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking about the microbiome, how you can change it, favorable things that you can do without spending a bunch of money on probiotics, supplements, other things. We're talking about natural things that you can do. I've been going through a list with you. First of all, I said watch out for antibiotics. Second, beware of acid-blocking medications. Third, I encourage you to eat more whole plant foods, especially fiber-rich plants. We talked about the benefits of everything from beans to greens to bananas to onions to garlic. And then we talked about some other things to watch out for. It's things that taste really sweet because they've got lots of refined sugar. That's not going to do a favor to your microbiome, nor are artificial sweeteners. So let me tell you about something else to watch out for and then something else to maximize. So we'll kind of go back and forth. So before I do, I want to take a question that relates to some of what we've been talking about, because I told you this topic has been driven by your questions. This is someone who's going through one of our free 30-day programs online. And they say, on day 4, it says to eat beans every day and maybe every meal. Does processed food made from beans count, or must it be just whole cooked beans, things like tofu or soy curls or hummus? And here's my response to this person online. Whole beans cooked from scratch are ideal, but we'll give you credit for any of the options you mentioned. So what we've been talking about is trying to eat more of these whole foods. Of course, the hummus is a whole food, whereas tofu is a whole garbanzo bean that is used along with sesame seeds to make this spread. So that is definitely a whole food, you know, bean-based whole food. Now, it may have oil or other things added to it, which is not a whole food, and we'll get there in just a moment. But the tofu is a refined product, but still has benefits. And the soy curls are a much more refined product. You may not be familiar with those, but it's a kind of a meat alternative that's in a dried form that is kind of popular in certain circles of people who are trying to decrease their meat consumption. So the bottom line, yes, the whole cooked beans, cooked from scratch, I mean, that's ideal. They're the cheapest source usually as well, and loaded with beneficial compounds. You say, but hey, you're talking about a bunch of foods that increase gas. Really interesting, and I'll just mention this as an aside. Some of these diets, you may have heard of a low FODMAP diet. It has to do with some of these very compounds that we've been speaking about that are beneficial for the gut bacteria. But there is a tendency for some of these things to cause more gas production. And in reading the experts, when they say, hey, if you go on one of these diets that are low in these things to decrease like irritable bowel symptoms, don't just stay on them. Try to introduce some of these foods back, because these are the powerhouse foods as far as the microbiome. If you identify some that are harmful, let me just tell you my personal experience. I can't eat raw broccoli, raw cauliflower, things like that. It bothers my gut. Okay, so you could say that's an application of having tried decreasing some of those things, but I eat plenty of the cruciferous vegetables cooked and enjoy them that way. Okay, let me continue. What kind of things should you avoid? You may have guessed that my sixth point is to avoid excess refined fat consumption. That's why I was saying that the hummus, a lot of times they'll add a bunch of oil to it. You can make hummus without adding fat to it, you know, from scratch. But what we're finding is the omega-6 fats. These are the fats you typically find in animal products. So you also find it in, actually, let me step back a little bit. Animal products typically have saturated fats. The omega-6 and omega-3 fats, they're what you're finding in polyunsaturated fats. So your vegetable oils and things like that, where you find a lot of the omega-6 fats. The omega-3 fats are things, you know, a lot of people think of as fish fats, but the fish only get them from plant sources. So good plant sources of omega-3 fats, walnuts, flaxseed, chia seeds, things like that. Someone actually sent a question through the timelesshealinginsights.org website just the other day, and they asked this question that had to do with chia seeds. You ready for the question? We don't have high blood pressure or diabetes, but we've just signed up for the 30-day program. Question. Someone said they were going to start grinding their chia seeds. We grind flaxseed. Do we need to grind the chia seeds? So both flaxseeds and chia seeds are rich sources of omega-3 fats. And interestingly enough, in looking at some sources, it does seem that we've known for years that flaxseeds, especially need to be ground to get the benefits of the omega-3 fat. But it does seem that the chia seeds also are best absorbed if they are ground prior to using. So you can get benefits from them without grinding them, but it seems like the maximal omega-3 benefits, at least from some things that I've recently looked at, actually come from grinding them as well. So bottom line, avoid added fats, especially those refined oils and things, and getting your fats in whole plant foods. Omega-3 fats can be beneficial, but watch out for, you know, one of the things that is kind of on my list is, you know, really, you really need to eat these, quote, plant-based margarines. I've never been a fan of those. If you're going to put something on your bread, why not use a nut butter or a seed butter, a sesame seed butter like tahini or something? And you say, I don't like those as well. Well, you know, it's an acquired taste, probably. Anyway, let me hasten on because we've got a couple other things I want to tell you. Something else good that you can add to your program, and that's are the whole grains. Now, I mentioned earlier in the program, some people are worried about gluten. And yes, if you're gluten intolerant, especially if you have celiac disease, you want to avoid those. But whole grains are actually rich sources of a number of compounds that actually can help you have a healthy microbiome. So really, you don't want to put those on your hit list. So the whole grains are potentially very beneficial as part of a whole plant food diet that can help your microbiome be healthier. If you have problems with something, leave it out. But don't just jump to the conclusion that you should be avoiding all gluten. That may actually not be helpful, because you'll know rye and wheat, some of the staple grains used worldwide, are actually both gluten-containing grains. So is barley. So just kind of keep that in mind. The last thing I want to mention is one other category to avoid, and these are these legal drugs that find their way into so many of our food and beverage choices. I was reviewing some data from one of the experts who's done a lot of work with the microbiome, and both of these are on their hit list, you know, things that are not your friends if you're trying to have the healthiest microbiome. And I haven't done a lot of research on either of these, how they affect the microbiome. I'm not a fan of them for other reasons. And if you go through our 30-day programs, you'll see that we're going to give you plenty of opportunity to decrease these compounds for other reasons. But both alcohol and caffeine are things that are not beneficial to the microbiome. The alcohol is probably the most intuitive one. I mean, think about it. I've got something on my desk right now, and I don't know if this is the original hand sanitizer that was in here, but guess what's in here? Ethyl alcohol, actually known as ethanol. That's the same stuff that's in beverage alcohol. Okay, why would I have a hand sanitizer? We say, well, you know, it's to keep the germ count down. Well, what do you think if you take that internally? What do you think that's going to do to your internal bacteria? It's not just that concern, but it also, alcohol is a toxin. It has metabolic toxic effects when it's metabolized, but it also damages the lining of the intestine. It's an irritant that can affect permeability of the gut and other things. And then caffeine, at least through one researcher's eyes, a special concern with caffeine as far as its relationship to acid production. And by the way, there's some other compounds in, for example, decaffeinated coffee even, that stimulate acid production. And again, the concern here is with things that are irritating the digestive lining and kind of feeding into this whole complex system that involves our gut, the microbiome, the germs that live there, and our overall health. And if we compromise the health of the lining of the gut, this also has implications. Healthy microbiome helps the lining of the gut. Healthy diet helps the lining of the gut and also helps with the production of these helpful compounds. Well, hopefully we've shared some things with you today, practical things you can do without taking medications, without buying expensive supplements, that can help your gut flora and can help you get some of the benefits that we talked about at the beginning of the program. Better mental health outcomes, better metabolic outcomes, better digestive health outcomes. A lot of it boils down to eating more of those whole plant foods and avoiding other refined foods, toxins, additives. All of it can give you a healthier microbiome and better health. Well, hopefully this has given you some encouragement. If you want to engage with us through our website, our sister website, best place to reach us, timelesshealinginsights.org. Again, I'm Dr. David DeRose. For all of us at American Indian and Alaska Native Living, as always, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.